Sister Penny is going to sing for us. Praise God.
While passing through this world of sin and others, your life shall view. Be clean, be pure without, within, let others now.
That is somewhat the theme of the message this morning. Jesus in you. Let's turn once again to the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. John 10. And let's go down to verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We would resume these messages on the treasures of eternal life. And today I want to enlarge on verse 10, they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. We will enlarge on the more abundant part of this life. It is so important to understand this glorious teaching of eternal life because, as we have noticed throughout this series, if men do not see this matchless truth, they will never enter into the fullness of what God has for them. I want to concentrate on the fact that there is a difference in having life and having it more abundantly. Every person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is given life the moment that he believes. The moment that he accepts Christ Jesus, he indeed has life. You'll jump down to verse 28. We read these words, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I don't know how much clearer you can get with when a person believes on Jesus, he's going to live forever. We find that the thief on the cross really demonstrates both of these points of having life and having it more abundantly. Jesus said to him after his repentance, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And so we find this verse 28 fulfilled beautifully here, because indeed this man had life and he is not going to perish. But the thief on the cross knew nothing of abundant life. That takes time. That takes experience. And so we find out that God would have us have abundant life. That life is Jesus himself. We have already discovered that eternal life is not simply a thing or an indefinite period of time. Eternal life is a person. We find this abundant life in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so important that we do exactly that, that we discover these wonderful blessings that we have in Jesus. Now, that word abundance is really an all-inclusive word. It is called superabundant. It's called superior. It is defined as being without measure. And the list just really goes on and on. There is no limit to it. And that is what God has given to us in Christ. Limitless blessings in Jesus. I want to notice today that there are a number of expressions, a number of scriptures which bring out this thought of abundance. You just cannot measure
the things that God has given unto us. We'll not turn to these. There are a number of them. You may want to take them down and meditate on them at length later on. But the first one is a very, very familiar one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all. It's all inclusive. The word means the whole or thoroughly. In other words, abundant. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And again, I point out that all of the abundant blessing that God has given to us is in Christ, or as we would say, in the person, eternal life. This is what we're looking for in our experience today. I think about these blessings. People who just have life, I think, just concentrate on natural blessings. And God has given us natural blessings. We come to the Lord and He has promised to meet our needs in every sense of the word. And we claim that glorious promise, but many of those blessings really are natural blessings. He would bless us with food and with shelter and with money and with a job and with transportation and so many comforts that He pours out among us. Those are natural blessings. But if men do not see the glorious truth of eternal life, they will never appropriate the fullness of spiritual blessings, the abundant blessings that God has for us today. So what are spiritual blessings? Paul says there in Ephesians 1, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And the place in heavenly places. The first thing people have to do in laying hold of these blessings is to realize I am no longer a part of this world. I am simply a stranger, a pilgrim passing through. My citizenship is in heaven. Yes, I must abide by all of the laws, the rules, the regulations, the things that men say, but my heart better be on heavenly things. Paul names quite a number in this chapter, but they are located throughout the scripture. I'm just going to give a little sample of what we are looking for when we talk about spiritual blessings. First, we are given Christ's righteousness. That's a spiritual blessing. We're given His holiness. Paul tells us in this same chapter of Ephesians, we are without blame. We're accepted in the Beloved. He's given us His wisdom, His prudence. Then we have this glorious blessing. We are able to understand mysteries, deep spiritual truths that God has given to us. And another really powerful blessing is fellowship with God. How can we even measure that God has called us into the Holy of Holies, into the very throne of grace, in order to have fellowship with us? People who do not understand and appropriate eternal life will never know the depth of fellowship that they could have with Him. They're always worried about their own conduct rather than seeing what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Notice another spiritual, I love this one from Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Another one that Paul mentions in Philippians, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, can overshadow our lives today, even in the midst of horrendous difficulty and trouble. Men don't understand how you can be at peace in the midst of all of this, but this is the spiritual blessing of peace that passes all understanding. Then there are a number of further examples of this abundant life. As we say, it is found in all spiritual blessings, but listen to this one. Ephesians 2:7, God promises the exceeding riches. One of the definitions of abundant. The exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:8, Paul says this, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. And this grace is follows, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Colossians 1:27 says it this way, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And then he tells us what that is, which is Christ in you. That's marvelous, abundant life that God has placed within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 5:17, much more, they which receive abundance of grace, that abundance is only in Christ. This is abundant life which we have in Him. Abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The abundant life, once again, is found only in Christ, only in this person who is called eternal life. I want to see a brief sketch, we might call it, of abundant life on display in the life of a person, this being the Apostle Paul. Let's go to the second chapter of Galatians. Galatians 2. Once again, a very familiar verse, one that many have not only committed to memory, but they have committed to be a way of life. And that's exactly what we must find in our experience. So I say the Apostle Paul set this example, and we really are to follow it in our own experience. Verse 20, I am. A better rendering of that is, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We will go into the wonders of this verse a little bit later, but I want to see for a little bit this morning another couple of translations of this verse. The first one is from the New Testament in Basic English. It says this, I have been put to death on the cross with Christ. Still I am living. No longer I, but Christ is living in me. And that life which I am now living in the flesh, I am living by the faith of the Son of God, who in love for me gave himself up for me. Then this translation by Ronald Knox. With Christ I hang upon the cross, and yet I am alive, or rather, not I. It is Christ that lives in me. True, I am living here and now this mortal life, but my real life is the faith I have in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. These translations beautifully bring to light the truth of this verse. I want to go through it a little bit in depth. We read here, as Paul says in the King James translation, I am, or I have been, crucified with Christ. There are some, and there is a teaching out there today, that you must crucify yourself every day. That is a fallacy. Crucifixion happened only one time, and that was over 2,000 years ago in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what Paul is talking about. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 agree perfectly with that same truth. Paul says this, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We died with Christ once, and that was at the cross. As we had in the message last week, we need to go through Romans 6 and identify with that I which was crucified and is gone forever. Now notice the rest of this verse. "I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live." And then Paul is quick to clarify this statement, because he says, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Another translation, as we read, "It is no longer I that am living, but it is Christ. The Christ living in me is the abundant life which has taken over the Apostle Paul." This is exactly what God intends for every believer, is that the life of Christ should dominate these mortal members. This is what we're talking about here when Paul says, "Christ liveth in me, the life which I now live." This is so, it's so important for people to get a hold of the eternal life. We're not waiting to live somewhere in heaven for eternity. Eternal life is to be lived right now in this present body. This is eternal life that God wants on display in my experience. And so Paul says, "Yet not I." It's no longer I that is living, but rather Christ liveth in me. And then he's more specific, "the life which I now live in the flesh." He's not talking about in that old fleshly Adam, the term that is used for that. He's talking about this present fleshly mortal human body. That's where God put eternal life. That's where God put the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where God wants us to enjoy that abundant life which we've spoken of here in these previous verses. And so the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith is his. That's why it works. And so we can claim that same faith as our own when we do exactly what the Apostle Paul did as he claimed the life of Jesus. "It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me." This simply stated means that Christ, this new life, must absolutely live today or obtain complete control of this mortal body. I can guarantee you on the authority of God's word, if this body is completely controlled by the life of Christ, sin will be a non-factor. Victory over sin will be won, and that's exactly what God intends. And then I want to see this. We see it at the first of the verse, and we see it at the end of the verse. Verse 20, "I am," or "I have been crucified with Christ." End of the verse. "Who loved me and gave himself for me. This is exactly the same pattern that Jesus followed in John 10. Remember, he promised abundant life. And then we find out it is because the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The cross, Jesus giving his life, is the basis, it is the foundation for this abundant life that God has given unto us. And so Paul says, he loved me and gave himself for me. It must be appropriated and enjoyed right now in this present life, in this mortal body. There is another principle beautifully at work here. Paul is speaking from experience. We have seen many times over the last few years the scriptural principle and truth: we cannot give what we do not have. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3:8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." What I'm saying here is that Paul knew by experience what it was to have abundant life in his own experience, in his own body. He had already searched out and appropriated these unsearchable riches, and then he's able to pass it along to us. That's the same pattern God wants for our lives. He wants us to appropriate, claim this abundant life in Christ, and then reveal that same thing to those round about us. We will close with the finality of this message. Let's turn to Colossians 3, where Paul beautifully sums up many of these same things that we have seen this morning. It describes what we must do if we are going to have the same result in our lives that the Apostle Paul had in his. Colossians 3, verse 1. "If you then be risen with Christ..." Now, it is a scriptural fact that every believer has been risen or raised up in newness of life with Christ. Romans 6 tells us that. So Paul doesn't ask this as a question if it really happened. What he's saying is, do you believe it? If you have been truly risen with Christ, if you have truly taken your place as having died and been buried and been raised up again with Jesus, if you truly believe that, Paul says, this will be the reflection in your life. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." That's the place of all spiritual blessings. That's the place where Jesus himself is. Follow him. Put your confidence in him. If you truly believe what God says is true of you, then actively seek those things which are above. Notice where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And he is there, we find in another place, interceding for us. This is another glorious blessing, spiritual blessing, abundant life that God has given to us, knowing that Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And believe me, his intercession is effective. And so, he sits at the right hand of God. Verse 2, "Set your affection I have said last week and many, many times over the years, people do what they want to do. That means you and I better have the right want to, the right affection. You have the power to set your affection on things above. When we claim the life of Christ, that's the only desire that Jesus has, is to please the Father. That can be my only desire. And so set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You have a choice. This is the secret of the Christian life. You have a choice. We can choose those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And then the basis. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Why? Because I was crucified with Christ over 2,000 years ago. And 3 days later, in God's reckoning, I was raised up in newness of life with Him, with this new life ready to control me completely. Verse 4, when Christ, who, mark it well, present tense, when Christ, who is our life, not Christ, who shall be one day, when Christ, who is, I say again, beloved, we must enjoy and appropriate eternal life right now because it's Jesus. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. And this is the point I want to leave us with today. The degree to which we appropriate and we lay hold of Christ, our eternal life, to the degree that we can say, Christ is my life, that is to the same degree that the glory of Christ will be reflected in me in eternity. Now is the time to claim that place, that we also might enjoy the fullness of glory when Jesus comes again. And so let us boldly, even now, seek to appropriate this abundant life. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. It's up to us. You can choose just life, or we can choose abundant life in Jesus.